The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Welcome back.
Lord knows they'll try.
Top of the second hour of today's National Intel Report. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's National Intel Report. I'm your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller. This Thursday, April 11th, 2019. We're on the phones. We have Chris in Las Vegas on the line. The word I was thinking of was Shylock. That's the cross lexicon word, for example. That's one of them.
Dykstra's pretty close to Shylock, and they're essentially the same thing. An unscrupulous attorney, yeah, or twister of circumstances to their own highly illegal, predatory, advantageous interest to the, let's call it, to the very disabling victimization of the victim on the second case by not only whether them or their children or their loved one were murdered or killed in the so-called accident or unfortunate occurrence, and then they re-victimize them again in the so-called settlement proceeding. They like to call it a resolution or to settle the matter. That's what they like to term it. I'm pretty astute and experienced in these circles myself, having had about every dirty legal trick possible pulled against me so far. The district attorney here in Las Vegas is warring against me, particularly because I had the audacity to point out that he and his wife were violating the separation of powers doctrine. But it's a very, very dangerous circumstance whenever the chief DA of the county has full determination of whether to prosecute or non-prosecute, and he has your life in your hands, and you can't find justice anywhere.
People have no idea. The administrative state combines powers and functions, and one of the best pieces that you can read, because, I mean, you could go on. I call it the magician's scarf. We could go on for days, and I have. I've talked for hours uninterrupted about the history of the administrative fourth branch, and it really is a literal fourth branch. For those that don't know, Senator Pat McCarran, the Senate Judiciary Chair, said it in 1946 on the Senate floor. We have created a fourth branch, and he clarified by saying, so by the Constitution, we have the executive, legislative, and judicial, and then he said, we have created, now we have the administrative, you know, the fourth branch, which is administrative in nature, and he reiterated that a few times. The best introduction, I think, that just about anyone could read that you could find is R.J. Pistrito's Heritage article, titled The Birth of the Administrative State and Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government. And he includes citations from Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, published in, I think, 1996 in the Harvard Law Review. This is not a conspiracy journal. This is, you know, just since I mentioned it, The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State by Gary Lawson, he, in the opening words, he really kind spells it out when he writes, the first sentence of the document is, the post-New Deal administrative state is unconstitutional, and its validation by the legal system amounts to nothing less than a bloodless constitutional revolution. And that is the Harvard Law Review. That's not the National Enquirer. So, and he's being literal. He's not being hyperbolic at all. So when you think about people that would engineer that kind of an overthrow, and it's the sentiment that guys like R.J. Pistrito echo in The Birth of the Administrative State, where it came from, and what it means for limited government, and you have Hillary Clinton back in the 2008 election cycle, 2007 YouTube, CNN YouTube debates saying, I'm one of those early, I'm a progressive. And she was asked if she was a liberal by one of the questioners, YouTube questions. And she said, basically paraphrasing, she said, shoot, liberal, I'm a progressive. I consider myself a progressive, like these early 20th century progressives. Those are the people engineering the overthrow that guys like Gary Lawson and R.J. Pistrito are talking about. And they're, you know, the crown jewel of that coup was the crushing of separation of powers and combining functions in the same agencies and sometimes even the same people. There are examples given, spare that, people can read it for themselves, but people have no idea how important that is. And the connection, the point and reason I'm bringing it up now is because the connection to today is what Mayor de Blasio just said. He said, we have the authority, I believe we have the authority to institute mandatory mass vaccinations. And that all derives, it all stems from this administrative state coup. And I've been saying for years, there's that piece that I mention every once in a while that I wrote for the Idaho Observer, America is a Don't Ask, Don't Tell Nation. And I mentioned the Idaho Pandemic Influenza Response Plan and how it declared that, you know, in a state of emergency, Idaho Military Division's Bureau of Homeland Security is responsible for overall planning. All of the agencies, state agencies, fall under that chain of command, and in a state declared disaster, and we have those everywhere these days. That's just the new thing in the post 9/11 era. The decision to implement the response phase of the pandemic influenza response plan is made by one person, the state health official. The decision to terminate the plan is made by one person, the same state health official. Criteria for termination may include mass vaccination, and or the outbreak did not materialize, which sounds weird. So you can one person can decide to mass vaccinate people even though an outbreak didn't materialize. And when you hear in Rockland that there are five people that are, you know, still have the measles, probably less today, but the media is fomenting panic and crisis, then you have to wonder about all of this. Can we stop the calliope for a minute and say, okay, hold on a second? Because time and time again, there are examples like 2009, where the same hysteria is fomented. And a few years later, we have a $63 million settlement in a class action lawsuit for folks injured by the H1N1 vaccine. And it's just this broad brush approach that's applied to folks. Bill de Blasio is talking about stopping people on the street, essentially, and vaccinating them. This all stems from administrative nonsense. So anyway, for those that don't know, that's the connection. We still have Chris. All right. Well, I didn't mean to go on a rant, but I really it's a timely issue. And I was saying, 13 years ago, in a town hall sort of forum, one of the consensus building exercises, it really was, because there were, you know, the community health officials. They were all there on the stage, and six people. We want to ask questions. We want to know what you think. And I said, here's a copy of the Idaho Pandemic Influenza Response Plan in my hand. and I read a broader excerpt that I just mentioned verbatim. This is an official government document from your little fusion center deal that you guys set up in the post 9/11 era. It's not real, except that it is. You guys just published an article in the Coeur d'Alene Press about how you guys are all meeting now to, you know, that this fusion center is created for these kinds of things. And, you know, it's like that old adage, the furniture fills the space. You know, it'll grow or shrink to fill the space it occupies. You have a space, we got to do something with it. Kind of like the, you know, if all you have is a hammer, everything's a nail adage. So I mentioned this and everybody said, oh, that's crazy. And even the crowd sort of bemoaned my remarks. But you know what? It seems to be happening in Brooklyn. So the question is, at this point, what is the trajectory of that? Because that was 13 years ago, and there's government documentation that says this is what happens. And every state has that sort of command and control architecture in place. The walls are closing in. Are they not? I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I'm just saying we have to call a woe to this. And is it not peculiar that there is a declared health emergency, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is nowhere to be found on that issue? I think it's peculiar. And all those other folks that are concerned about, you know, children in Yemen, but not children in New York that are being aborted. No, sorry, that's not, I'm not supposed to talk about that, right? But they don't care about their own countrymen? Folks in New York declared health emergency? You know what I'm saying. Back to the phones. Mark in Georgia, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, well, you finally get to me just when I'm getting... Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I was wondering, where do you get that documented about the administrative branch? Because as it turns out... Oh, hold on. Let me flop this over. Stop that stupid doorbell from binging. So AOC was actually right about there being an administrative branch of government, in spite of her. You know, she's not as ill-educated as we may think her. Hello?
I'm not following you.
Well, I remember somebody was criticizing Alexandria AOC about saying that there was an administrative branch of government, and it turns out she was actually right. Yes?
I am not familiar with her remarks, but yes, there is an administrative fourth branch that, you know, is acknowledged but not taught in school. You know, Justia, the law resource, talks about it.
Oh.
You can find it in the congressional record.
Oh, okay. You got a citation handy?
For what?
The fourth branch.
Well, yeah, the Rosetta Stone of the, you know, public side of the discussion is Senator Pat McCarran's remarks on the Senate floor in 1946. And that's in the congressional record.
Pat McCarran?
Senator Pat McCarran, Senate Judiciary Chairman Pat McCarran.
Chairman, oh, come on. And that was what year, 1970-something?
46.
46. So was this subsequent to people getting Social Security cards and therefore signing adhesion contracts that we've never really been made aware of?
Yeah, and that system was all essentially smithed by a guy named William Willoughby. And he wrote about it when the Brookings Institution was still the Institute for Government Research, IRG. And he went and set up the preliminary, the experimental version of it in Puerto Rico. And then after about 9 years, he came back and they set it up here. And that's what became, you know, the FDR administration, et cetera, all that stuff in the early 30s, for example, that the Reese Committee told us was another bloodless revolution, like what Gary Lawson talked about in The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State.
Because people are clueless. Yeah, just like, you know who it was that said it's well for rulers that men do not think, right?
Yeah.
Adolf Hitler said that. I want to find the original German, but the reason I originally called was I was wondering about a side-by-side comparison. I know that Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals has less points than the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, but I get the impression they're pretty strongly in alignment about what they're advocating. Would that make reasonable to you?
Yeah, and there are other examples of that too. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just everywhere you look in those allegedly spurious documents, you see the same echoes. Yep. I'm still looking right now. I think there is a justice.gov. I think the Justice Department has a listing. There is a listing somewhere, and I'll mention that before the end of this broadcast. There's a .gov citation for Senator Pat McCarran's remarks. I can't find it right this second, but I will. Anyway.
Okay. How's that spelled? McCarran?
Yeah.
That with a C? McCarran?
Two C's.
I'll look it up. But the thing that concerns me is...
McCarran. Two C's.
Okay. R-R-A-N. Okay. Strength. R-A-N. Okay. But I'm in the GOP convention thing. This Saturday, there's going to be the district convention, and next month, there's the state convention. And I don't think they're going to like what I have to say about, you know, it's like, I don't know how to explain it other than, look, this is not an insult, it's a challenge. Any dead fish can float downstream with all the rest of the dead fish. In order to go against the flow, you have to be alive. And what I'm getting at, the challenge here, is if you're more concerned with what other people think than what God knows that we've been lied to, then you're a dead fish because you're more concerned about human opinion than you are about there is an absolute truth. Does that make sense? I guess the thing is, people will think, how dare you say, call me a dead fish? And I'm like, well, if you're more concerned about being consistent with the label conservative and you haven't peeled back that label, because I see this label as holy and righteous and good, but then you peel back the label and you find that the stated goals are all misleading. That all the stated goals are against.
Right.
You know, anyway, I got to get going here. But it's nice talking with you. Going to be on later, or how's John doing?
Fine as far as I know. I haven't spoken to him.
I was under the impression he'd taken ill or something.
I don't know. That's above my pay grade. I'm just, you know,
filling in.
Do what I do.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Well, if anyone wants to get in touch
honestly, I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. I wrote the judicial notice thing that's on RBN's homepage, and if anybody wants to get in touch with me about substantiating, I heard Billy Graham himself talking to Richard Nixon saying that the synagogue of Satan created socialism, communism, and Zionism, and I really want to have the actual recording where the people can hear it in Billy Graham's voice rather than me saying, I heard Billy Graham say this, because then they can dismiss that I heard him say this, and it's like, yeah, what drugs were you on? No, this is what Billy Graham said to Richard Nixon, that the satanic counterfeit of Judaism created socialism, communism, and Zionism. But Billy Graham never publicly said a word, which is where I fault the man for not being, you know, he's more like one of those dead fish who's, but if I say this openly, people will call me an anti-Semite. And I'm like, what's your point? You know,
I don't think it has anything to do with Semitism.
It has to do with people are more concerned about what other people think when they're in a state of complacency.
We're headed into a break. Yeah.
All right, I'll be inside.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Classified as enemies of the state since 1933. Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. So, for those interested, the remarks in question, Senator Pat McCarran's remarks, there is a justice.gov link I found during the break, justice.gov/sites/default/files/... That means it's a Drupal site. Those who know that. /JMD/legacy. We'll throw it in the archive. /2014/03/20/Senate Rep-752-1945.pdf. 79th Congress, Report Number 752, Administrative Procedure Act, Report of the Committee on the Judiciary on S7, a bill to improve the administration of justice by prescribing fair administrative procedure, which is, those were remarks that Pat McCarran had also, but his remarks are in there. That is a copy of the congressional record in the proceedings. So, you know, it's in there. That's a 47-page document. But there are some other interesting documents. I'll have to dig out the stuff that I have a bunch of stuff that I used to keep handy on this. The definitions and things, it's just unbelievable. For those who don't know, I mean, take some time and just read through those 47 pages. You will be astonished, I assure you. The things that they're talking about, mind-blowing. But what page? I'm just going to try to find the page. I don't see where the page is offhand. I'll come back to that. Let's go back to the phones in the meantime. Dave in Nevada, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I just wanted to mention something that I saw on YouTube once regarding vaccines, and it was just a really quick snippet of some like Hollywood awards show, and they were promoting. Mm-hmm. I think it was like one of those Academy Awards or Golden Globe type things, and they were promoting vaccines in the middle of the ceremony, the award ceremony. And how they're doing this is that they came out, I don't know if you saw this or anyone saw this, but a bunch of people literally, they came out on stage with a bunch of needles, syringes. And they started to like go up to people randomly, like actors, like these are famous Hollywood actors. And they did not like that at all.
It was.
Did you see that?
Referring to this year's Golden Globes. Yeah.
Yeah. And you saw the look on their faces, and they're like, "What the hell are you guys doing?"
Yeah.
And so
it was weird.
It wasn't just. It's not just weird.
You know,
yeah. It's not just weird.
The dancing shots.
Right. But it's not just weird, but you know that they know, all these people in Hollywood know what's going on, and they don't want any part of it.
And it just happens it just happens to coincide with the World Health Organization's announcement that, you know, that vaccine hesitancy is number 8 on the list of top 10 threats to world health. Yeah, sure. And then 4 of the other, 9 coincidentally with vaccine hesitancy. Anyway,
if it gets down to the point where like you're talking with De Blasio and just like going out on the streets and forcing vaccines on people, it's not going to work. And people they're going to draw a line eventually, and there's going to be these types of things that's going to bring out I don't know if to call it a revolution or something, but it's going to cause something, and it's going to make people turn on the government.
Yeah.
And it's starting to happen. It's starting to happen all over the world. And the case in point, and people don't talk about this enough, France is in its like 22nd or 23rd week of the yellow vest protest. This is not a small event. This event that's going on in France, especially in Paris, it's huge, because it's going to send. I'll tell you why it's huge. Because it's not going to stop what's going on in France. The people there, they're not going to stop, because they've been living under a serious.
Wow.
They've been living under a militarized police state for about at least 10 years. 10 years.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's more to that story, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John,
Big Bad John,
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
Welcome back.
Big John.
I'm just, I'm going to do a quick data dump on the more to the story, and because we need to get back to the phones and I don't want to run out of time here. But for those that don't know, here are some things that you should look into. Look, go read Andrew Karibko's Hybrid Wars, The Indirect Adaptive Approach to Regime Change. Go look up Unconventional Warfare. Go read the Pocket Guide. 44-page or whatever it is, pocket guide to unconventional warfare. You know, Uncle Sam puts out some fun stuff sometimes, huh? And see that the image, you know, that image of the clandestine and overt stuff, the pressure that's created below the surface, or what retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner referred to as the below the CNN line. look at all those pressures, and then go, while you're doing that, look at the covert regime change actions, so-called, of the CIA's notoriety and infamy, and see that there's a direct correlation between those pressures that are created and the CIA's covert regime change action. They've pretty much mastered tipping governments and installing puppet regimes and dictatorships. So you see that, then you search, you know, Arab Spring, and you look at all of the color revolutionary stuff that's gone on, and you know, search Arab Spring and color revolution, or Arab Spring, Serta Popovic, Canvas, and you know, go to Serta Popovic's Wikipedia entry, and just look for Arab Spring. Canvas. On the eve of the Arab Spring, Canvas provided training to a number of young activists from Egypt and Tunisia. This is Wikipedia, for Pete's sake. Some of the training sessions and their impact on participants were described in Popovic's Blueprint for Revolution, which is based on Gene Sharp's work. And then, you know, go look up that video of Hugo Chavez holding up the pamphlets that are circulating in Venezuela, saying this stuff looks a lot like the Canvas material that's been circulated. If that stuff, back to unconventional warfare, you know, Gene Sharp, Albert Einstein Institute, USAID, State Department, garbage. Unconventional warfare, full spectrum dominance, you know, nonlinear warfare, hybrid wars, beggar thy neighbor, fomenting conflict, balkanization. Look up, you know, the grand chessboard, Zbigniew Brzezinski's grand chessboard, the Eurasian Balkans concept. And when you start looking at these things and you start to see all of the similarities, not just abroad, but here too, you know, because Alinsky did it on a micro level and the CIA is doing it on a macro level, then you start to see what the yellow vests or the yellow jackets are really all about, you know. And I think both are terms of art to, you know, tell you what they're really doing, but also draw people in like it's, you know, an innocuous group, at least to the local people. And you always hear that there are these, oh, it's a spontaneous, organic, grassroots uprising. And then you always hear after the fact, like I said, from Serta Popovic's own Wikipedia entry, on the eve of the Arab Spring, Canvas provided, you know, and so I'm sure that we'll see the same stuff if we haven't already. I haven't looked, but there's probably the same stuff, you know, material circulated in France. And even Curta Coleman early on was saying, you know, hopefully this isn't what this is, but so anyway, look that stuff up for those who don't know. Do we still have Dave? Dave there?
Hello?
Hey, Dave.
Hello? Yeah. So anyways, what's been going on with France is it's kind of underreported, and it's not misunderstood. It's just not understood fully, and that it's not going to stop, because France...
Well, I think what I just said is an important point in the understanding of what's really happening in France and everywhere else for that matter.
Yeah. I know some people that live in France, so if you look at what kind of situation they're in, it's a relatively small country, and they have a 10% Muslim population, which is impossible. I'm not saying that it's physically impossible. I'm saying that it's impossible to live in those kinds of conditions in a country that small, that traditionally is not a Muslim country.
I'm not sure I understand what a 10% Muslim contingent has to do with anything.
If you mix a traditionally, okay, France has been for centuries, it's traditionally a Catholic Christian country. The last time there was some kind of Muslim invasion in Europe, it was stopped. The only thing that stopped it was an institution. It was the Catholic Church. Yeah. That was the only thing that stopped.
Yeah, I think this is where we start to run into problems. When we conflate things, we run into problems. The Muslim invasion, speaking of Gerda Coleman, he's the guy who points to Kelly Greenhill's work on coercive engineered migration, which is a counterpoint to, or not a counterpoint, it's a companion to Agenda 21, Chapter 7 in particular, human settlement camps. And so coercive engineered migration, like these floods of people that don't have the ability but somehow make it from South America and Central America through Mexico. I mean, that's just absurd to think that that's even possible. All of that kind of stuff, that's engineered. And those are not, the vast majority of the 1. However many billion Muslims are not those folks. And I think we need to be careful lumping folks into groups that, we need to learn about what political Islam is, what Wahhabism, Salafism, Deobandism is, why the CIA recruited those people. That's a fact, an established fact of history. Go look up Operation Cyclone. Go look up the Salafi movement and see under the section titled Views on Extremism that Saudi Arabia is promoting that radical ideology. It's responsible for the acts of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, et cetera, et cetera. And then we need to start asking some serious questions. Why are these people our allies? Why is this being promoted? And why are we not hearing about that specifically instead of the conflating of people groups, which is exactly what I was talking about? That's bigger than neighbor. That's balkanization. And by the way, Wahhabism and Salafism have been used as a social virus, essentially, effectively for decades, if not centuries now, through British intrigue. Anyway, we got to move on. And so, Dave, I appreciate your call. We're going to move on in the interest of time. And go back to the phones. Mark in Florida, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for letting me in. As far as the administrative agency, I would say 1791 and the Judiciary Act, the first Judiciary Act, started it all, and it just flows. And the people that get into this government crap are not responsible for their actions, and that's why it moves on. But I wanted to get to the term protection and defense, which I think are opposed to each other, because defense is you stand up for your rights. Protection is, well, how do you protect your hoard of gold? You lock it in a cell and you bury it in the ground where nobody can find it and or see it. And when a government agency or a government agent wants to protect you, the only way they can protect you is to lock you in a cell and bury you in the ground so nothing can get to you, and hopefully the guy will show up to feed you. And that's what protection is. Protection is slavery. It's a cell. It's a prison. Yeah. Everyone is talking about protection.
And with
protection,
that in mind, yeah, absolutely. And we hear, it's interesting. We hear about this, the crises that I just mentioned that are fomented through color revolution, predominantly these is one of the big weapons of unconventional warfare. So you have these crises, and I like to look at that scenario as a two-sided coin. One side is the P2OG doctrine, proactive preemptive operations group, going around stimulating reactions. Those who don't know, look up Jeremy Scahill's Dirty Wars. Read the book, watch the documentary, and see that, yes, Virginia, there is a conspiracy. JSOC in particular, Joint Special Operations Command, and CIA and partners are going around the world, poking the world in the nose, even though CNN doesn't report on it. And then when the world says, hey, that hurt, then all of a sudden CNN shows up to report that. And we then the other side of P2OG is what you're talking about. It's responsibility to protect. It's the R2P doctrine where, oh, we have a responsibility to protect. And so now everyone's going to get buried in the ground. We'll level everything and everyone will get buried in the ground.
Yeah, it's just amazing how people, I don't know, maybe it took me 40 years to catch on. And maybe that's their advantage to the criminals, that they know that it takes many years for people to catch on to their bondage. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems impossible.
It's such a horrifying situation. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, hopefully my golf swing will be good tomorrow. That's what I got to look forward to.
Right on.
And some pie. Homemade pie.
Hey, it's Masters.
Enjoy your day.
After
all. Yeah, boy.
Thanks.
Enjoy.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Thanks, you too. That reminds me of... Not that over here. That reminds me of... what's his name? You know, J. Edgar Hoover. And the infamous quote, you know, I included that in the 28th, which was the day after the big Rockland announcement, basically. Yeah, J. Edgar Hoover writing his article, Communist New Look, that was published in Elks magazine back in 1956, when he wrote the words that have been sort of misappropriated, I would say. But, you know, the American citizen, well, backing up, he said, the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. That was 1956. Teddy Roosevelt had some interesting remarks, too, along those lines. Maybe I'll get to those in a minute. We'll go back to the phones. Wayne in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Nice job tonight. I wanted to call on
Thank
a couple
you, sir.
Issues.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, a couple issues here. I think the one fellow had talked earlier about the birth of the administrative state, and I kind of trace it back to the Administrative Procedures Act of, I think, 1947. And I think it further pushed 46, okay. It helped subvert the Constitution even further. I think it really came into where it helped create these statutory color of law type of, you know, implements that they use now to really, you know, just suck people dry of taxes and fees and all that. It's all under, not constitutional law, but color of law. And I think it really helped turn into our government, many of our local governments, into these municipal corporations. And these corporations are nothing, you know, a corporation is nothing more than a profit-seeking type of entity. So it really, I think, greased the skids for a lot of grief that we're suffering now.
No question. Absolutely. And I would call the Administrative Procedure Act basically the formal declaration of the architecture that was erected really predominantly in the turn of the 20th century, but, you know, dating back to 1871 for sure, and even back, you know, further to, you know, 1791, like Mark was saying, and, you know, the Hamiltonian era and all that. But I think you're absolutely right. The Administrative Procedure Act is a crowning achievement to the real revolutionaries.
Sure. And when you think what happened and the outgrowth of was this alleged legal system we have, and these armies of attorneys and lawyers running around the whole country, again, terrorizing people, I believe. And when you think about it, I believe this is where the battle really is, because if we can learn to neutralize these characters, I think it would help people quite a bit. And I've done it several times with certain notices that I've done, and it kind of all goes away very easily. And a few things to remember about this whole system is that a state bar, like in Texas, is really a private corporation, okay? And these attorneys do not have a professional license like a doctor or dentist, okay? And they practice only based on that bar card, which is like a union card. you know, you're like a pipe fitter or something like that. So I really believe that if we start challenging who they are, their alleged authority, and their ability to enter in our affairs, I think there's a good way to neutralize them, which is really a victory.
Yeah.
Challenge your credentials.
I have some thoughts on that, and we don't have time to unpack that right now. But I think you make a good point there, and you know, to further underscore your point about the, you know, the agencies, private, you know, corporations essentially. There are many examples. One of my favorite is Alan Greenspan in that interview with Jim Lehrer, the NewsHour Jim Lehrer, back September 18, 2007. I want to say that PBS has since scrubbed. I wonder why, because people were saying he really said that. So the one YouTube video that I made on the Road Warrior Radio YouTube channel 10 years ago now was on the FSAP, Financial Sector Assessment Program, and how the Fed was experiencing an internal audit, but that was all a setup job. And some things didn't happen that I thought might, but we played that clip of Alan Greenspan saying, you know, when Jim Lehrer asks him, what should the role between the president and the chairman of the Federal Reserve be? Greenspan, you would think someone would say, well, you know, it's important and whatever, whatever. Greenspan said, well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there's no one that can overrule what they do. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but not much. He said, so as long as the administration or Congress or no one think that we shouldn't do what we're doing, you know, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter. Which is, I mean, that's shocking. And so you can't find that on PBS anymore. I wonder why. But one of the other examples, my favorite, that you still can find is the St. Louis Fed's website. They have the series in plain English, and a page in that series titled Making Sense of the Federal Reserve, Who Owns Reserve Banks? The opening sentence on that page, the Federal Reserve banks are not, and not is italicized, not a part of the federal government. And you show that to people, you know, anytime the conversation comes up, if I've shown that to someone, they go, what? It invariably is met with, you know, the saucer plate-sized eyes and a mouth agape, you know, saying, what? Yeah.
Right,
Federal Reserve's
right.
own website. The Federal Reserve banks are not a part of the federal government. Now, tell me, here is the question that should be, you know, the $64,000 question. How do you reconcile that with Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution? Where
you can't.
Congress is authorized to coin money and regulate the value thereof and fix standard weights of measures, et cetera, et cetera. You know, how is
but
that possible?
Know, in 1933, you know, the Constitution was effectively suspended. So, you know, we're operating in a state of emergency where anything's possible. And so the key thing about the Federal Reserve note, anything you purchase with it, you can only really discharge a debt. You don't gain clear title on anything. You can get a certificate of title, because you use FRNs, but you cannot get clear legal title, and that's very important for, you know, purchasing property and whatever.
Yep, absolutely. One of my favorite treatises on that subject is They Own It All, Including You, by Means of Toxic Currency, Ron McDonald and Robert Rowan's book.
Yeah.
They did a good job in that. And there are so many other examples that everyone should know about. This should all be common knowledge. Unfortunately, because of this network and, you know, similar efforts, it's not completely unknown, but it should be known in every household. Everyone should know. Everyone should have read the Reese Committee hearings. Everyone should go read. I mentioned Senator Pat McCarran's remarks in the run-up to the passage of Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act. Everyone should read his words. We'll throw in the justice.gov link to his testimony when he said, "We have created a fourth branch." What? Everyone should hear that. Everyone should be familiar with the Senate, the 1973 Senate Committee to Terminate the National Emergency, and Senate Report 93-549 talked about the, you know, it was supposed to be the termination of the national emergency, and shortly thereafter in 1976, it's already the reports being used. Not only is the national emergency not terminated, and they said they tasked the Air Force to help with identifying all of the laws and regulations that resulted from a state of emergency, and they identified at least four states of emergency. They said it dates back to probably the Lincoln era, actually, certainly to 1933, but probably back to the Lincoln era. And they said the Air Force was the only institution with the computing power sufficient to help us do the analysis. And we identified thousands of provisions that give the president dictatorial powers, but we boiled it down to a list of 470.
Wow.
Gosh, only 470. And then from there, you fast forward to September 11, 2001, and on the 18th, September 18, 2001, CRS Report 98-505 was issued, where the Bush administration used that, you know, Senate Report 93-549 language to justify what we have now, you know, the dictatorial powers that they mentioned in 1973. Right. Anyway.
And the one thing I'd add to your list, too, is speech from Congressman Traficant about the reorganization.
Absolutely.
And the bankruptcy. I mean, that is so instructive on understanding so many moving parts of what's been going on. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So really very important.
Absolutely. There's that link on Republic. We'll include that. And whenever the subject arises, my mind, so two things. There's the link on RBN. It's titled, "Here's the Proof, What Are You Waiting For? Email this to as many people as quickly as you can." We'll throw that in today's archive, the National Intel Report. And John Adams wrote a dissertation on the canon and feudal law, and it was published in 1765. And what Jim Traficant said in 1993 on the floor of Congress was echoing what John Adams wrote in 1765. In other words, there is this plot that continued on, and it's the same stuff that we're talking about here. It's the same stuff Wayne's talking about, that Mark talked about. Anyway.
Unbelievable.
We all need to know. That's the point.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it. And then by knowing that Jefferson said that was the remedy to constitutional abuses, to inform the discretion of the people by education, the true corrective. Anyway, I hope it was informative. My thanks to the callers, and I appreciate the opportunity to sit in. Thank you. Take care.
We must take America back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.